Romans 12 this morning. Y'all going to be finding Romans chapter 12. Talking about being the difference. We complain all the time about things, don't we? We talk about things all the time, and we wish things would change, and we wish this, but we, church, have responsibility that we can make a change. Each one of us can make a difference. Just as I think Bruce was saying earlier, just, you know, open a door and smiling for someone. That's a difference. That's making a difference in someone's life. Just small things to show, you know what, that I love you and I care for you. You don't have to look like me. You don't have to act like me. Don't matter what you've done in the past, I'm just going to love you because of who you are, period. Because we know what's going on right now. And just another thing happening in our country, another, you know, restless times that we are seeing. And we have people on two sides of the fence as a whole, majority, one side or the other. And we have our opinions. We have our stance. We have our beliefs. I get that. I understand that. But the main thing we have to remember is that as Christians, we don't act like the world. That we are separate and that they see Christ in us. It doesn't mean we can't still have an opinion, but it does mean that we all are connected by one major thing, and that is that we are all loved by Him, period. I was thinking this morning how that, you know, we have, if you're a Cowboy fan or a Steeler fan, which are polar opposites, right? Guess what you have? Shirley's Cowboys, Nikki's Steelers. Guess what y'all have in common? You're football fans. Y'all got that in common. What does a veterinarian and a dentist have in common? They're both doctors. Very different, right? Fix your dog or fix your teeth. But they're both doctors. There's a lot of things that we're different in, but that we share a connection with. And the one thing that we share in common, whether we're Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative, black or white, redneck or businessman, city or country, whatever our differences are, the one thing we all share is that we are God's creation. And we are made by Him. Each one of us were formed by the hand of God, and our breath comes from God. Breathe upon us. But what has happened is we have let people, we have let society, we have let other things shape us and influence us instead of the Word of God shaping us and influencing us. So we're going to read what Paul says here in Romans chapter 12 about being the difference. And what Paul's letter here is really talking about, especially when we get to verses 9 through 21, that last half, he is talking about applying what we know to the real world. See, it's easy, church, to be all you know, Christian-y here. Oh, I love everybody. I love my brothers and my sisters. I love the long-haired, pierced-up, tatted-up guy on Sunday. But, man, I won't speak to him on Tuesday at Walmart because somebody might see me. Easy to do it here because we all family, right? As Mindy sung it last week, we all family. Well, it's easy. But what's harder is applying what we believe to the real world. Easy to apply it on Sunday and Wednesday. Easy to apply it to our church folks. But when it comes to the real world, to our jobs, going in every single day, going to public places, are we applying the knowledge that God's given us? Are we applying the love to others? Does everybody have a fair shake in our path? Or is it those that we pick and we choose? And so we're going to talk about what Paul says in Romans 12, verse 1. It says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Paul is letting us know, don't be conformed. Don't let the world shape your mind and your thoughts. Don't let things outside of what you have learned become what leads you and guides you. Because we realize the world is hard and harsh and ugly and mean and bitter and angry. And I, church, refuse, remember, let's talk about this, I refuse to get caught up in the hype of what the media and what other groups are trying to instigate. I am going to love Jesus and I'm going to love all people. Church, I'm even going to love the Yanks. Yes, I am. I'm going to love those north of the Dixie line, because that's the kind of guy that I am. I mean, we have gotten to such a point that it divides us just simply by who we vote for or what state we're from. I mean, where have we gone? We cannot let this happen. Did you know, I know it's going to come to shock some of you, but there are Yankees that Jesus loves. Yes, there is. I mean, Jesus even loves Tom Brady. Don't know how, but he does. So I'm just saying, we have let so many of our differences divide us. And one thing we share in common is I am a child of God. And there is one kingdom we're all going to share in. And there's one place we're all going to share in. And so we cannot allow the world to transform us into what it wants. But we have to let our minds be led by the Holy Spirit. That's why it says to cast every imagination, everything that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring every thought into captivity unto the obedience of Christ. We got to bring that, because we can't let people keep us mad. I mean, we're in a mad world. I mean mad as in mad. We're in a mad world. And it's like, what is happening? People losing their minds, church. We as Christians have to be the stabilizing light that lets them know that you don't have to lose your mind. The anger and all the stuff happening in this generation, in our world, and our young people have to be so confused anymore of what's right and what's wrong and what's good and what's bad. Well, I'll tell you one thing that's always good, and that's Jesus. He's always good, and his word is always truth. And if we obey his word, even today in 2017, you know, where God don't really exist, if we still follow his word, we still will be blessed. And our lives will still have success. Now go to the next scripture. This gets into the amplified part here. I did this amplified version because it breaks it down a little bit better. Verse 9. This begins where Paul begins to talk about how we apply what we know to the real world. To the real world. Once again, church, until we're honest with ourselves, until we truly allow the love of God to change our hearts to where it's a real deal and not a hypocritical love. Here's what Paul says. Let your love be sincere. A real thing. A real thing. Let your love be sincere. Let it be honest. Hate what is evil. Anytime that there is division happening, that is evil, church. You know that division has another word that we can call it that's a little more profound that might make you go, oh, really? Witchcraft. You know the whole part of witchcraft is a dividing spirit. In case you didn't know that if you study on it. It's a dividing spirit. And so if we stay divided, we stay mad. But you know what? If we join hands and say, you know what? I'm not going to live my life mad. What am I mad at? I love whoever God created, and that's everybody. I don't love what they do. I'm not saying I'm going to hang out with you, because you know what? You do stuff I don't maybe agree with, but I'm sure not going to not like you or hate you just because you look different or you're from somewhere different or you act different or you don't fit my mold. We've got to be careful about this. We are the children of God, and there needs to be a stabilizing light that tells the world, yes, you are different. You're different. Church, I know it's hard to unprogram our minds. I realize that. I know how hard it is to deprogram something that's been programmed all of our lives, whether it be prejudice, whether it be hate, whether it be judgment, you know, whether it be arrogance, whether it be I'm better than you because of. It's hard to deprogram that. There's a lot of things in my life I'm proud of, a lot of things I'm not proud of. There's things that I wish I could do over, but I know I can't, so I move forward from today and do better. And as Christians, every day is a new day to do better, to be better, to act better, to show others the light of Jesus, as Bruce sung, and don't let the light be extinguished. Hate what is evil, loathe all ungodliness, turn in horror from wickedness, but hold fast to that which is true. Good. Hold fast to that which is good. You know, Paul said in the first verse we read, he said, make yourselves a living sacrifice. So this means this. It means I sacrifice my prejudice in order to produce love. I sacrifice my hate that I can produce good. I sacrifice what I've always believed to embrace what God wants me to be. I sacrifice. It's like a marriage. I tell couples, and marriage is hard. Even the best of circumstances, marriage is hard. When you've got your soulmate, it's still hard. When you've got the perfect wife like I do, it's still hard. When you've got a great marriage, it's still hard. But I tell couples in premarital counseling all the time that your lives are becoming one, which means that you now sacrifice for each other. It don't become all about you anymore. It becomes about what's best for your spouse. It becomes about what's best for you as a couple, not as an individual. Sacrifice is something that's hard to do. But Paul is saying, let your lives be a sacrifice unto God. In other words, let me use your life to where you sacrifice what's inside of you that I can be seen to others. Sacrifice. Sacrifice. The Bible says in one place, sacrifice is greater than obedience. Sacrifice. To give our lives unto the Lord. Next verse, Brandon. Verse 10, love one another with brotherly affections as members of one family. Let's do a little poll here this morning. I'm from North Carolina, born and raised. On the playground, spent most of my days. Telling you my age, aren't I? What other states do we have here this morning that you are from that you call your home state? Who we got? Indiana. Tennessee. Oh, West Virginia. Ohio. Another Ohio. Michigan. New Hampshire. Wisconsin. Look at all these Yankees we got in here. Maine. Florida. This is Yankee state too. Look at all those states that represent us. And look how different. Roger, life in Michigan is a lot different than North Carolina, isn't it? A lot different. Life in Maine is a lot different than North Carolina. Life in Florida is a lot different. We don't have Mickey Mouse here. It's a lot different. But each one of us from different places of the country are here this morning, and we are family. And we are one body from every walk, from every state. Did you raise your hand back there, Roger? Where are you from? Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, that's right. He barely made the cut to the South. He barely got in there. He's just under the line. It's amazing how that we categorize each other, and I know that we're all different. Look, there is no doubt, church, that a Northern and a Southern are different. They talk different. I can't half understand some Northerners. You bought a new what? Car. A new what? Car. Are you going, car, car? No. Car. Oh, car. There's a R in car, Northern, just to let you know. Pronounce the R, car. I know when Georgia Ann first started coming, she's from Long Island, and when she first started coming to church, she had a very hard time understanding me. She said, you'd be up there preaching, and you'd be saying stuff, and I was like, man, I didn't have a clue what you were saying. But now I've learned your dialect, but it took me a long time to understand it. So Northerners talk different. Northerners make jokes about Southerners, right? But us Southerners have the great one back, right? Nobody retires and moves up north. So that's the one we use. We're different. It's okay. We're different. Conservatives, liberals, we're different. We're very different in what we believe, what we stand for. But once again, the one thing we have in common is we are loved by Him. And if we're loved by Him, we ought to be able to love each other because Christ died for all. The Bible says He died once in Hebrews and for all and forever. He died once for all forever. That covers it. That takes me out of the equation of holding anything against anybody because of what they've done, what they believe, or who, what they look like. That should not be a part of if I love them or not. We are family. We look different. We're dysfunctional. We don't always maybe like each other. But when it comes down, we come together and we're family. You know, when Lindra had her horrible wreck back in, was that 08? 09? and almost lost her life, to see the church come together in such a profound way for someone who was thousands of miles away, and y'all came together as a family to pray, to support this family during that time of their lives. That was a beautiful moment for me as a pastor to see the love of God was actually being applied. I wasn't just saying, yeah, I'll be thinking about you. Y'all came together and did something about it. And that's how it should be for whoever in this family is down. If a man's down, we pick him up. If a man's hurt, we help bring healing. If a person needs God, we're the light. The light can't be picked and choose about if we think they deserve the light, or if they think we want them, or if they think, you know, do they fit here? Of course they fit here. Church, the kingdom of God is one kingdom, one Lord, one Spirit, one baptism, one God, period. And we're all part of that. So we love each other as members of one family. And look at this. This is the part we have a problem with. Because we're all about us, right? We're all about this. We're all about that. Do what? Click on a camera. I'm sorry. We're clicking cameras, you know, because we're all about self. But look what the Bible says. That we are to give presidents, not presidents of the United States, presidents, and showing honor to one another above ourselves. It means as believers, as God's people, that we esteem each other, oh, above ourselves. That's when we start walking in the beauty of God's grace and love. When we can lift someone above our own self. You know, we make fun of Ashley because, you know, she's a teenager, right? Teens want everything. They need everything. We'll go to Walmart, Ashley, hey, I need this. And so we got a new nickname for her. We call her Anita. Because I needed this, I needed that, I needed this, I needed that, I needed this. So her new name is Anita. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, just putting a buggy, okay. I mean, does my opinion matter? Not really. I just need it. Sometimes we're like that. We put our own needs above others. And if we could learn what Paul was telling us, what the Word of God is telling us, that we are to prefer, that's what Christ did for us. He put us above his own self, above his own needs. He went to the cross. He died. He endured for us. We talked about that last week, that the glory that was set before him, he endured the cross. He put us above himself. Next scripture. It's all about applying what we believe. Never lag in zeal, in earnest endeavor. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. Well, Pastor, I serve the Lord. I'm on the deacon board. I'm on the choir board. I'm on the food board. I'm on the refrigerator board. I'm on the microwave board. I'm on everything. I'm on every board. It's a little deeper than that, church. It's more than putting donuts out in a fellowship hall. Serving the Lord means, are we being the light and doing everything as we do unto God? We should be doing everything as we're doing it unto God, because that's where the light shines. Serving God with love, compassion, grace, mercy, understanding, wisdom, a listening ear. Because everybody's got a story. Everybody's got a song. We all a little different. We all went wrong. But then the Savior came and took the blame and changed everything. That's good news, church. He changed everything. And so we can love one another based on how we, you know, one thing I want to brag on Anna. I love Anna. Most of y'all know Anna. She is so sweet and she is so precious and such a wonderful, beautiful saint of God. And I'm not here for you to cook for me, I promise. You really are. One thing, Anna, it caught my attention. I think especially, and this is not a negative statement, I promise. But for Anna to be an seasoned lady in her generation, a little older lady, something she does is she is so accepting of everyone that comes here. And one thing she does is reach out to those people and make them feel like they're home and part of this family. And church, that's unusual, because Anna was in a generation that looked a lot different than this generation looks. And for her to be able to reach to everyone, regardless of how they look, I mean, somebody could come in here in a clown suit, as long as they didn't, you know, wasn't carrying a bomb on them or something. And Anna would welcome them. I'm Anna, and you're Bozo? Nice to see you, Bozo. Come on in. glad to have you. Nice shoes. I mean, she would find something. If someone come in with rainbow-colored hair and so many piercings they couldn't see her face, Anna would find something. So glad to have you. I love the hair. That won't work on me, though, but it works on you. That's how she is. What if we all could be that way? If we could just get beyond the outer shell and realize that inside every human life is needs and desires and heartbreak and loneliness, frustrations and fears, uncertainties of the future. I'm going to tell you something. There's two emotions that every human being shares, no matter where we come from, what our religion is, what we look like. Two things that everybody knows what means. We all cry and we all laugh. That's two things we all do. We all cry and we all laugh. Everybody gets sad. Everybody can be happy. We share that. All of us have that in common. But I just want to brag on Anna for that, because that really blesses me as a pastor to see someone so receptive, Anna, and loving everybody. And that's what this ministry has always been about, and you set that example very well. Next verse, Brandon. Rejoice and exult in hope. I want to talk about this verse for a minute. Rejoice. This word hope is not talking about rejoice for what might be. Rejoice for what might come. This hope's not talking about some kind of false pretense if I hope it happens. This hope is something that's established. Paul is saying, rejoice in hope. Rejoice in the expectation of your final reward. Rejoice in what's coming your way. Rejoice because this world will yield itself to the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is going to be birthed. It's going to be manifested. The children of God are going to rise forth. We are going to be changed. We are going to walk in His glory. We are going to be forever different because we are the redeemed. And we are going to be everything God called us to be. There'll be another chariot one day that will swoop down and forever change us, and they won't be able to find us because we will be changed by the glory of God. That's the hope we have. That's the hope we celebrate. We realize, Paul said, if in this world, if the hope, all I had, all my hope was in this world, I'd be miserable. If all I had to look forward to was what's here, that'd be sad, wouldn't it, Stacy? This is all there was. And you just died and just, well, that's it. My life's over. But thank God there's so much more. Thank God there's a birth, there's a season, there's a destiny, there's a time, there's a reward that is going to be birthed in all of those who love His appearing. And man, I'm happy about that. So we rejoice in that hope. We are steadfast and we're patient in trouble and tribulation. We're patient. Now, church, we have got to allow the Holy Spirit to keep us grounded in a very unsettled world. I was watching a video on YouTube and I had to actually turn it off because I felt myself rising up, you know, thinking, I don't want myself to get all messed up. So I cut it off. But it showed a video of these people that are pulling statues down and they're kicking the statues. And they're kicking the statues. I'm like, well, they don't feel you. You know that, right? And I'm like, I had to stop it. I'm like, what's happening here? Let's just, I can't get myself worked up. I'm like, God, the whole world needs your love, your grace, and your mercy. The whole world needs you to step in and to calm the storm and to settle the fears and to settle the anger and to settle the frustrations. Because all of us can get so worked up if we're not careful. And then all of a sudden our light's not shining because all they see is our anger, our judgment, you know, our condemning ways. All they see is our attitude, and they don't see the love that you have for them. So we got to be patient. We got to be steadfast, and we got to constantly be in prayer. Be constant in prayer, church. Paul was telling us to apply this to the real world. We got to be in prayer. Talking about something don't change nothing, but praying about something can change everything. Just gabbing at McDonald's in the mornings, around your coffee with the guys, talking about everything that's wrong in the world, just blowing smoke. But when we pray, God, change our hearts. God, change their hearts. God, open the eyes of my heart that I can see you, that they can see you, that we can see each other as you see us. That's what's beautiful. Because people, church, as a whole, are people. We have families, we have children, we have jobs. We share in all the same struggles of any other person. Just different struggles, but still the same. Next scripture. Contribute to the needs of God's people, sharing in the necessity of the saints. Pursue the practice of hospitality. And this is what Anna does so well, hospitality. We should be hospitable to one another. Hospitable. Friendly. Look, I know things can shape our lives. I know Barbara used to be a former police officer, which I can't see that, but she used to be a former police officer. And I realize when you're in law enforcement for very long that you just see the bad stuff. That's all you see is the bad stuff. And how that can shape your view of everybody because you see the bad stuff. We've got to be careful that we don't let just the bad stuff shape our lives, but that we also see the good and the beauty in others. And even in the struggle, that we show compassion. Even in the midst of, I know David told me this one time, David Lee, he's a Statesville PD, that when he picks someone up or he's got them in a car with them, he tries to talk to them, share with them a story of how they can be better, how they don't have to have this life, and how he says, I try to witness to them the best that I can and talk to them. That's making a difference. That's what all of us should be doing. We, church, are the difference. We make it. We always say, Lord, send me a blessing. We're the blessing. We can be the blessing to someone else. Instead of always wondering, God, bless them. Lord, bless Bruce, bless Paula, bless Minnie. Lord, I pray you bless them. Maybe we're the ones that are supposed to be the blessing that God will use us. But we got to be willing. Next scripture. Bless those. Oh, this is the hard one. Bless those who persecute you. We got people who will unfriend you on Facebook in the drop of a hat. I'll just unfriend them. I'll unfollow them because they just said something I didn't like. Boo to the who. Boo. I mean, how shallow. I'm talking about adults now. Teenagers, I understand. They're flaky. But for adults, I mean, we should be a little more grounded. Bless those that persecute you. Man, that's hard. Bless those. Think good of those. Pray for those. Lift those up that persecute you. That's applying the real world. Who are cruel with their attitude towards you, bless and do not curse them. That's hard, Aunt Doc. But this is the Word of God. This is not James. This is the Word of God. It's in your Bible, if you brought one. It's in your Word of God. That we, to apply real life, we bless those who persecute those. We pray for those. We lift those up. We don't return the hate for the hate. Next verse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. How many of us don't do that? Ed gets a new house, let's just say. And some of us are like, oh, that's great, Ed. But then, behind his back, why does he get a new house? I deserve a new house. What's he done so good? Is he all that holy and righteous? I've been slaving all these years, ain't got a new house. What makes Ed so special? Y'all looking at me funny. Y'all know y'all feel that way. Be happy for Ed. Yay, Ed! We're to rejoice. But some of us don't. You know why? Because we're jealous. We're jealous. Doc's got that red Mustang out there. Convertible. I'm very jealous. And you know what? Doc parked that car in my house for about 2 weeks. He didn't even know where to put it. His kids wouldn't help him out. But anyway, so I helped him out. Remember who helped you, brother? I won't part a wheel. So whenever I parked that car, he had it covered up. He told me, he said, drive it. You may want to go out on a date. I didn't touch that thing. I wasn't about to get in that car because I know Doc. And if he'd have come back and there had been a gnat guts on the side of the door, he'd have blamed me. You drove it. I see a gnat gut. So that car stayed parked. In fact, I got a yellow spot right there where it stayed parked, by the way. But it'll go away. It stayed parked for 2 weeks. I didn't touch it. But he got that red convertible Mustang. Son's like, oh, man, I wish I had a Mustang. Well, yeah, go in debt and get one. We do everything else. Just saying. So we're to rejoice. Why do we rain on people's parades? As Christians, when others are blessed, we should be happy. Why? We're one family. And if Cousin Earl gets blessed, praise God, Cousin Minnie ought to be saying, way to go, Cousin Earl. And we have no Earls in this church that I know of. I don't know where that came from. So we are to share with other joy. And look at this. We're to weep with those who are weeping. We are to share in the burdens. And just like with Linda's accident, how y'all came together and weeped at this altar for her recovery. How you prayed and you weeped and you mourned that God would heal her and bring her out. You came together. And that's what family does. And that's what Christians do. We come together. You know, one of the tricks the enemy has used is denominations to where it's divided people, religiously divided people. You know, it's divided us on we're divided on race by church. We're divided by denomination on church because Southern Baptists, they're special. Pentecostals, they're special. The UMC Methodists, you know, we're special. But the one thing we all share in common, guess what it is? It's God. We share this. And if we could open ourselves to realize that we are all serving Jesus, the same God. You know, I preached years ago in a Romania church in Mooresville. A Romania church. And I had to have an interpreter as I preached. And guess what? They believed in the same Jesus I did. I preached in several black churches, and I love that. Guess what we all shared in common? Jesus. We got to quit letting things divide us and realize what unites us. Jesus unites us. When we are baptized in water to confirm our faith in Jesus, no matter where we come from, what we look like, how old we are, what political party we are, rich or poor, country or city, conservative or liberal, when we are baptized and we come out of the water, we are baptizing ourselves into the name of Christ. And that makes all of us share something very special. We are all partakers of his inheritance. That's good news. So we're just sharing each other's grief. Next verse, Brendan. Live in harmony, not Union Grove. Just kidding. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty or snobbish or high-minded, exclusive. But readily adjust yourself to people and to things. How many of us miss out on shining the light because we tune someone out because of our own pride or arrogance, or we think we're better, we think we've arrived, they're poor and I'm a little bit better off, they're this, I'm this, they live here, I live here, they drive this, I drive this, they're from here, I'm from here. You know, one thing Joe Brown is very proud of, he's not here this morning, he's very proud of his state of Ohio. And he constantly reminds me of how Ohio does things. I'm like, well, aren't you still in Ohio, Mr. Joe Brown? Just saying. But he's proud of that. I always talk about Ohio. In Ohio, we did it like this, man. Down here, up in Ohio, this wouldn't have flied. If I was in Ohio, this wouldn't have done this. Are you saying you look down on these Tar Heels, North Carolinians? Because we Southern hicks. Is that what you're really saying? Don't be high-minded. And look at this. Never overestimate yourself or be wise in your own conceits. Boy, that's hard, isn't it? Especially when it comes sometimes to religious leaders or churches overestimating themselves. We're better. We're bigger. We're greater. Be careful of that, church. These are real applications to apply today. That others will see we are all inclusive, not exclusive. All inclusive. Now, I understand, church, there are ways of life that we don't always agree with. I realize that. There are things that I know the Bible talks about, things that I'm against. But it doesn't mean we alienate people and we hate people because of that. We've had all kinds of folks in this church through the years. We've had gay couples come to this church. I've had people sit in the back seats that were drunk during service, that were high during service, and they come from all kinds of walks and backgrounds. And my only job is this, to preach Jesus to them, period. To preach the word. I'm not the judge, and you're not the judge. There's one judge, one righteous judge, period. My job is to preach and let the Holy Spirit do the work. Next scripture. Repay no one evil for evil. Don't repay evil for evil. Someone does you wrong, I'll do them wrong back. We are all guilty of that. We, at some point in our life, we've all probably done that to where we got somebody back for getting us. Or if we didn't, we sure wanted to in our hearts. We want to get them back. Paul says, don't do that. Don't repay them. God will take care of that. But take thought for what is honest, proper, and noble. Some have always tried to teach my kids, do the right thing. Do what's right. You never go wrong doing what's right, church, ever, I promise. You may feel like the victim. You may feel like I'm always the goody-two-shoe and everybody runs over me and stomps over me and I never get ahead because I'm always doing the right thing and everybody gets away doing the wrong thing. I promise you they're not getting away and God is going to honor your life. And even now, God is honoring your life more than you realize. Because sometimes all we're looking for is that big gold pot in the rainbow to see if God's really blessing us. Whenever we got the health of our kids are alive and they're healthy, we have a marriage, we have a home, we have food, we have shelter, our bills are paid. We walked in here, we seen with our eyes and heard with our ears and raised our hands and walked on our feet and our mind, except for Matt, is still sound. I am thankful for that. Church, we have something to be thankful for. We're blessed. And sometimes we don't realize how blessed we are that God is honoring our lives because we are doing the things the right way. You never go wrong doing it right. I promise, ever. And people are watching and people are seeing. Aiming, our goal is to aim to be above reproach in the sight of everyone. To be above reproach. Where people can't say, see there? Preacher, that's a lot of responsibility. It is. But that's our role as a Christian. How many times, even do we say, oh, they act like a Christian, but they really don't act like one. They say they are, but they don't. Well, are we that person they're talking about? Oh, they say they're a Christian, but they sure don't act like one. Are they seeing that? Being a Christian means following Christ, which means we live our lives, we do our lives based on what His Word says, the best of our abilities. And it means that we swallow pride and eat a lot of crow. There have been people out through the years I've apologized to. As a pastor through the years, I went back and said, you know, I'm sorry if I said something to offend you. Sorry if I've done you wrong. I don't have a problem with that because I don't want that on my tally. I don't want that on my plate. I got to get that gone. If I've wronged someone, I want to make it right. I'm not so stubborn to hold on to it. If I'm wrong, church, I'm wrong. And I'll be the first one to admit, you know what? I was wrong. And I'm sorry for that. We have to live as an example for others. They're wanting. Church, there's nothing more powerful than love. Nothing. We get married because of love. We have kids because of love. I mean, love is a powerful glue that keeps us together. Look at verse 18. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, not anybody else. Don't blame the president or the Democrats, the Republicans or whoever. Don't blame them that there's unrest. You can't control that. But you can control you. As you look in the mirror, you can say, I will not be part of the problem. I'll be part of the solution. I'm going to love no matter what comes against me, and I'm not going to be pulled in this miry muck of disaster. I'm going to stand and love people and be strong and be a light and not let my light dim because others are trying to dim it. As far as I'm concerned, see, church, we do control how we live our lives. I can control how other people live. You can't either. But you can control how you live. You can control what you believe, what you think, how you act. That's all you. What comes out of your mouth, that's all you. We control that. As far as we're concerned, we are to live at peace with everyone. A church, I'm not saying we've got to join by the campfire tonight and do kumbayas. I'm not saying that. Kumbaya, my Lord. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying you got to be best friends with everybody. What I'm saying is this, that our hearts need to be clean and right with God. That we see others for who they are. And who are they? They are a creation of our Heavenly Father. No matter what their stance is, no matter how they're living, no matter where they come from, they're a creation of God. And we are to live at peace if all possible. If you've ever had marriage problems, normally the reason, one of the major things, if you got marriage problems, is there's no peace in the home. There's no peace. And when you don't have peace, you don't have much of anything. But when you have peace and calm, all of a sudden things look so much different. They're so much more clear than chaos. See, the devil is trying to create chaos to keep people's hearts and minds off of the Lord and off of what's right. Don't let that happen. Live at peace with everyone, not just the ones you like. Everyone. Look at this. He goes on to say, never avenge yourselves, but leave the way open for God's wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. We love that eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. People still use that, don't they? Oh, I get them. You know what the Bible says? Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. The Bible also says, turn the other cheek. The Bible also says, love your neighbors yourself. The Bible also says, forgive as many times as needs to be forgiven. 70 times 7, right? As many times you forgive as I've forgiven you. And so vengeance doesn't belong to us, church. Don't. Here's the danger. Hate is a poison. And hate gets inside of us, and it destroys our lives. It destroys our families. You know, most cases, kids repeat the behavior of their parents in their ideology, in, you know, how they were raised and what they think. And they repeat that behavior. Don't let hate be your governing force. Let love be your governing force. I'm going to tell you something else. Hang on to hate's a hard job because it's hard to carry that yoke all the time. When you got a chip on your shoulder all the time, you're not very pleasant to be around. Nobody wants to be around you. But when you let God take that chip off of you, and you can just love. I mean, you can just love, love. It's amazing sometimes, the old saying, you can't judge a book by its cover. That is really true. I've seen a lot of books. You ever bought a book that had no cover? No title, no words, hardback book, nothing on it. The contents inside. Look beyond the cover and see what's inside, and you'll find out. Inside of each of us, we share the same things. He tells us if your enemy's hungry, you got to feed him. If he's thirsty, you give him drink. For by doing so, you heap coals of fire upon his head. Paul is saying, look, this is what's going to win people. Is you love them through it all. If they need something, you help them. They ain't got to look like you to help them. They ain't got to act like you to help them. They don't have to vote like you to help them. You help them. Regardless. This is my last verse, right? Be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. How can we do that, church? How can we make a difference? Here's what we can do. Let me give you a practical example. Most of you have jobs. You work. You'll be at work tomorrow, maybe. When others start getting your ear talking about all the junk that's happening, just silence it. Say, you know what? I'm not going to do this. I'm going to love, period. I'm going to listen, period. I'm going to show compassion, period. No matter what. I'm not going to let the world rattle me and change me into something that I don't want to become. And I realize we're seeing it 24/7. The technology in our generation has changed so much that it's constant, constant, constant. I know Tim Sigmund told me years ago, said, I think the computer's the devil. Good old redneck boy. But you know what? That's truth. I think our computer's the devil sometimes. We allow so much to come into our minds to shape us. Church, we've got to be careful. It's like if you got a pain in your elbow and you start Googling it. Stage 4 cancer. You ever Googled it? Pain in an elbow, could be, you know, boo-boo or stage 4 cancer. I mean, you'll wear yourself to death. Don't get so caught up. We need to pray for each other. We need to pray for our country. We pray for our president. We pray for our political leaders. We pray for the Yanks, and we pray for the rebels. We pray for the, we even, church, we even pray for the Californians, you know. We even pray for them. Pray for all of them. Because we are the children of God. We are the people of God. It is up to us to be the difference. You can be a difference. You can't control everything, but you can control some things. And that's the thing that I'm so proud of this ministry all these years, that the people that have been here have loved each other, and they've shown that love, and they've reached out, and they've embraced who walks in the doors. And that's what it's about. Because you know what? As a pastor, I'm privy to information y'all don't have. And in our, I've said before, within our church family, there are many that are battling drug addiction and alcoholism. There are many that are having marital problems, struggles in their family. And so, are we so different? And for the grace of God, right, there is I. For the grace of God, church, there is I. As your pastor, we've had battles. Y'all know that. Still got battles, and y'all know that. And so we all can't look at each other as being better than or less than. We're not. God loves each of us. Each of us. Will y'all stand with me for a minute? Father, I want to pray this morning that you touch our hearts in a special way today. That you open our eyes as we read this word. God, this is your word, not my word. This is your word, Lord. Teaching us of how we are to live life in society, in the world, in the generation that we're in. And these principles we are to apply every single day. Love, don't repay evil, show compassion, show mercy to each of those out there. God, we are the light of the world. And I pray our hearts are protected from the hate and from the anger, from the instigations, from the divisiveness that's trying to capture the hearts in this generation. I pray, God, that you guard our minds and guard our hearts. And that, Lord, if we are battling issues today, if we are struggling with loving certain people, I pray that you help us with that, Lord. That you help us with that. That we're honest with ourselves and we're honest with you. And that we'll say, Lord, touch our hearts, that I see them as you see them, God. That should be our prayer. Open our hearts to receive that we will love and that we can be a difference. Each one of us this morning, we, Jesus, can be the difference. We give you honor and we give you praise in the name of Jesus for loving us. Amen.